Denver's home for today's comedy, Comedy 103.1. It's Big Mike, excited to get this man in. He's a comedian and a podcaster. Last night, his show Comedy Works sold out. So if you want to see him this weekend, you're definitely going to want to get those tickets fast. We have Duncan Trussell. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm really good, man. It's Friday, so weekend's almost here.
Yes.
Welcome to the Maha City.
Thank you. Thanks.
What's been going on with you?
Well, I'm happy to be in Denver. So cool, man. I'm at the Comedy Works. They have this incredible comic condo that they put us up in. It's just insane. It's like some kind of Donald Trump level billionaire suite.
Is it?
Oh, it's beautiful and surprising because usually when you do a comedy club and they put you up in a condo, it is not good. It's a bad place, like bad at the level of like a haunted house over an Indian burial ground. Just horrible, sprayed with like despair and old moldering comedian jizz and anxiety sweat mixed in with like, I went to a comedy condo once. I won't name the place, but they had like a laminated sign that they stuck above the phone, which was like, comics, if you want to get booked again, use your calling card. Like from the 80s, right? Like just nothing has changed, just thick dust from the 80s. Anyway, it's the opposite of that here.
Okay.
So it's glorious.
I didn't know that was scary. I need to start hitting up Mel Comedy Works, see if I have a place to stay over the
weekend. Oh, if you can get in there, get in there. It's incredible. They've got actual like armor knights. Like they have just like in a mansion, like scattered throughout the place. It's fantastic.
I'm feeling a little jealous. I haven't seen this condo. I want to see this condo at some point. Just spend one single
Let
night.
Let him spend the night there.
Night. Yes. Oh, a tour. I don't even get a night.
A tour.
I don't even get a night. So your last night, show sold out. How was that? How you like performing in Denver?
Well, there's two of my favorite clubs in the country are the Comedy Store, where I learned to do stand-up, and then the Comedy Works. And so I've only featured at the Comedy Works, so to get to headline is a pretty big deal for me. It's pretty exciting. Yeah. It's a perfectly constructed club. Like, I don't think a lot of people realize with stand-up, there's a lot more than just the mic on the stage, but there's a certain acoustic quality to really good rooms that seems to come from a lot of different things. Low ceilings. But more than that, it's weird to say, man, but there's like a kind of like juju in the air. They're really good rooms, a kind of like specific psychic vibe that's at the Comedy Works. So you can really tune in, and it's just a great room to work out at.
Yeah, it's one of the, you know, it's true because almost every comedian says it. Every comedian says the exact same thing about Comedy Works.
It's true.
Not like every single one of the best clubs to perform at, and not only that, but they're also great at picking who they want to come there, so they know if there's a comedian there that you're going to leave laughing, and that's why they need to go see you this weekend.
Oh, thanks, man.
Tickets at comedyworks.com.
Hare Krishna.
Or you can get them right there. You were mentioning where you got your start in comedy. How did you get started in comedy? What inspired you to want to get into comedy?
Well, it's weird. I never, you know, like you'll hear comedians sometimes say, like, ever since I was a kid, I knew that I would be a stand-up comic. But I never had that level of confidence. Like, I can remember before we knew that Bill Cosby was some kind of rampaging, you know, monster. That was the first comedy I heard. My dad had a Bill Cosby album.
Yeah.
And I can remember, you know how your brain takes these, like, weird snapshots of things in life, like just a photographic snapshot. You can almost hear the shutter just click.
Yeah.
But I can remember putting a Bill Cosby album on and listening to stand up for the first time. And you know, kids have no immune system for comedy. Like you're not jaded or cynical, so everything's funny. But then when you listen to like a master like Cosby, and look, regardless of the fact of what he's done. He's still master at stand-up. And I just was floored. It was like getting like a shockwave through I fell on the ground. I couldn't stop laughing. I couldn't breathe. So that was like my first taste of stand-up. And then I would like memorize jokes from this like embarrassing. If you ever remember Truly Tasteless Jokes, do you remember those books?
I can't remember those.
So these are these books back when there used to be bookstores that would come out filled
what
with
are
like
those?
Right, they're like video stores.
Store?
Yeah, it's a store where you bought books. But these are like these filled with these like embarrassing stock jokes, like really stupid, dirty jokes
that you would try to remember and like tell your friends like you made
I'd
them
memorize
up.
Them. I'd memorize them, and like I'd sit at home, I'd memorize these jokes, and then on the bus I'd tell these awful jokes to people and make them laugh. And then I remember this like this redneck girl's like, you should be a stand-up comic. But anyway, I never thought, like, I'll do that because
she changed your life.
She didn't. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. I don't think I could do anything. But anyway, I just ended up in L.A. I'd inherited like $8,000 from my grandmother who died, and I ended up spending that on synthesizers and LSD, and ran out of money, had to get a job, ended up getting a job at the Comedy Store just as a matter of survival, not thinking I would do stand-up. Started working on the phones, was around comics, were like, well, they give you 3 minutes of stage time every week, so why don't you just take advantage of that and just see if you like it. And so then I started doing stand-up, and then I fell in love with it, and then that's how it happened, man.
And it all started because of Truly Tasteless Jokes books or whatever.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Actually, your entire set this weekend. So it's
no. No? Guys, I'm only reading from old joke books from the 80s. That's just what I do. It's great. Please come.
You'll I think I'm going to have to find those books to see if I can revive it and pretend like it's going to be. I didn't know it was in there.
They're terrible.
And I don't know why I did them in, you know, concession, back to back to back. So, you know, another thing you do is your podcast.
That's right.
The Duncan Trussell Family Hour, and you're approaching your 200th episode.
That's right.
And it's almost, I think it's like 4 years to the day almost, a few weeks ago.
That's right.
You know, what made you want to do that? Because I know a lot of people start a podcast and then like 7 months and you don't see them post anything anymore. Mm. You're still going.
Well, what happened is, you know, many, many moons ago, I was living with Natasha Leggero, and I had just done a podcast with some comics, Matt Bronger and Matt Dwyer, and they had started way back before podcasts or anything, and it was fun. Yeah. I really liked it. We were just sitting around yapping, but there's something super cool about it. So Natasha and I decided to start a podcast called The Lavender Hour, and we would just record that in our apartment and upload it with no intention or any kind of like ambition behind it outside of like, this is fun to do. And so we started doing that, and then I got a phone call from Marshall Chiles, who books the Laughing Skull in Atlanta. And I guess he'd been listening to it, and he said, listen, you got to focus more on doing this podcast, because listening to you guys talk, it's really funny, and a lot of people don't realize this, but there's about to be a podcast boom. Yeah. And so he, prior to the podcast boom, predicted the podcast boom. He's like, people are going to, you know, cars are going to be able to dial up podcasts, and it's going to get really popular. So focus, focus, focus. So we started doing the podcast more. Then we broke up, and then I just sort of started my own show, and that's how it happened. And so I've just been doing that ever since.
Still going.
Well, yeah, still going, man. That's right. Yeah.
Got in before the boom. Do you feel like it's oversaturated now?
No.
There's too many people?
No. See, that oversaturation thing that you hear people say is absolutely ridiculous. That is the most insane concept, and I think it's so limiting to people. First of all, if you're thinking, I'm not going to do this because it's oversaturated, who are you? Why are you doing anything? Like, you're only doing things because you're the first person to do it? You're in trouble, baby, because in this planet, everyone's already done everything. The planet's oversaturated. Yeah. There's so many humans crawling and lumbering around this
planet. That's why I just ignore everybody.
Yeah.
That's why I just ignore everybody.
Just do what's fun, man. And so, no, I don't think it's oversaturated at all. I think it's undersaturated, and it's going to continue to grow. If you look at the number of people on planet Earth versus the number of people who are tuning into podcasts, it's a very small percentage of people still. So, and anyway, don't do a thing because you want something from it. If I could quote the Bhagavad Gita, this Hindu scripture that I love, you have a right to your action. You do not have a right to the fruits of your action. That means if you get too caught up in what's going to happen because you're doing this thing or that thing, then you completely lose the sweetness of the moment. And that's the only reason to do anything.
And it's weird that on your book stand, that transcript is next to the Book of Tasteless Jokes. I mean, kind of like, you know, just go back. That's an interesting book stand you got right there. You know, I think one time of the year, a season for, you know, comics and entertainers that gives them a treasure trove of content is election season, which we're in right now. And what an election season we got in right now with Trump and all that. And, you know, are you following it? Are you paying any attention to all the debates or anything, the elections going on right now?
Yeah, I am.
You know, what do you think about everything that's going on right now with this year? Has anybody caught your eye? I mean, obviously, Donald Trump is kind of the glowing child right now.
Yeah, right.
Kind of got their eye on. What do you think about this year with the election?
Well, you know what it makes me think of a lot, man, is there's a philosopher I love named Terence McKenna, who had this incredible theory that we are approaching something called the singularity. Now, that's not just his theory.
Right.
That's Ray Kurzweil's theory. A lot of people think that as technology continues to accelerate, we're eventually going to get to a point where someone invents a time machine, as crazy as that sounds. And whatever that's form that's going to take, who knows? But this event that's coming in the future is so powerful that it is actually blasting quantum particles backward through time. And these particles are called tachyon particles. So McKenna said that as these tachyon particles move backwards through time, they actually create novel events in human history, such as the crucifixion of Jesus, if you believe that, September 11th, these kind of blips on the scale of history. And as we get closer and closer to the singularity, he predicted that we'd see more of these events happening with greater frequency, because we're getting closer and closer to this incredible point that's called the end of history. So I think these elections are just one aspect of this thing that we're all experiencing, which is the kind of massive shift and transformation that's happening to human history. And as that happens, a lot of the things that we used to take very seriously are being exposed for the absurd, ridiculous rituals that they actually are.
Well, you heard it here first. Duncan Trussell saying the singularity is the day that Donald Trump wins the election. It all makes sense.
Yeah, there you
go. It all makes sense. So you're here this weekend at Comedy Works downtown. You get tickets at comedyworks.com. What's next for you?
I've got a massive tour coming up. The Squarespace is sponsoring a tour. It's the You Are God tour. It's a bus tour. I'm going to be going all through the East Coast in a bus. And
have your face on the side of it?
No, we didn't get it wrapped, man. You know it's super expensive to get these things wrapped. It's like $15,000 to wrap a bus. And something about it seemed like, man, if I'm in a bus that says You Are God on the side, I'm going to get pulled over all the time. I don't want to deal with it.
Maybe we need to do a Prius tour. Maybe just do a Prius tour. I think it's a little cheaper to wrap those.
Yeah, way cheaper.
We could do that.
And better for the environment.
Exactly. The Duncan Trussell Prius tour coming to a city
God,
near you.
That doesn't sound fun.
not as good.
No.
Okay, I take back that idea.
But it's a no. It. Thank you for Scrap the it. Idea. All ideas are much accepted.
That's
and appreciated.
Not true. Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say all ideas are good ideas. No, they're not.
I mean, if you consider what is an idea, and if you think about the fact that you are like the universe producing any idea at all, it's a pretty spectacular thing.
No, well, thanks for ruining my thought process and way of life. I mean, I just thought we were doing a comedy interview.
I'm sorry.
Right now, I'm worried about the singularity, and I'm worried about my idea. Thinking people's bad ideas are not bad anymore. Appreciate that.
That's why we're here.
Exactly. You're actually here to help me.
Well, I mean, we're here to help each other, right?
Oh, okay.
That's the idea.
I like that. To think that I'm helping you in some way, then
of course you are. How sweet of you to let me be on your show. It's very kind of you.
Well, I mean, it's my city is excited to have you here this weekend, so of course I'm excited to have you here, man.
Thanks, man.
We want to thank you for making time for us. Like I said, comedyworks.com. Last night sold out, so if you want these tickets, get them right now while you can. And Duncan, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thanks, man. You're the best. Thank you.